As I'm sure it is with many families, when the Lawrence clan gets together, stories are sure to be part of the gathering. So you get mom, dad, all of us adult children now, and our spouses, all of the cousins, and stories of days gone past begin flying. Stories that sometimes delight, stories that sometimes embarrass. Some stories we wish would be forgotten. Do you remember that time, Chad, when you were babysitting and you threw Emily in the cold shower? Yes, I remember. Can we just forget? I was a terrible teenage babysitter and probably a horrible older brother, yes. Other stories we hope will make their way into the permanent familial canon lore. How about that time when Steve and Adelia had just started dating, and the whole family was gathered in Mom and Dad's backyard there in Bakersfield for Memorial Day celebration, and an impromptu familial family backyard competitions broke out. Do you remember that? Remember how Steve entered into the sprint race, and he ran across the backyard and got running so fast that he wasn't able to stop in time before crashing through Dad's brand new fence. And it was then that we knew he would fit right in with the family quite well. Tonight, as those who have been brought into the family of God, we have been retelling some family stories. How God made everything. We want to remember how Adam and Eve took the fruit. Embarrassing. Jonah, God's rescue of the Israelites. I'd wonder if you'd bear with me for one more. One more. I want to use it as a springboard, and it will undoubtedly be familiar. Choose a man to send down to fight me. If he kills me, we lay down our arms in defeat. If I defeat him, you become our slaves. For 40 days, morning and evening, the Philistine came down into that valley which separated the two armies, and he issued his challenge. This giant, Goliath of Gath, a warrior since his youth, unparalleled in stature, unmatched in strength of arms, undefeated in battle. I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. And of course, the entire Israelite army trembles in fear. Every man, from the king to the foot soldier, no one steps forward. For who could match such a warrior? And after all, who would want the pressure of the entire nation upon his shoulders before such a foe? So for 40 days, the people of God are shamed, cowering, until an unassuming shepherd boy arrives. He's been sent by his father to bring some food to his brothers on the front line. Unbeknownst to everyone, he had recently been anointed as the new king by the great prophet of God, Samuel. And as the oil dripped over the young boy's head, so the Spirit of God rushed upon him. Give me a man that we may fight together, comes the call from the valley. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Says the ruddy youth. I will fight him. You will fight him? You? Who do you think you are? But word comes to the king that there is one who will face the giant. You are but a youth. He's been a man of war since his youth. Yes, but I have kept sheep for my father. And there was that time a bear came and grabbed one of the lambs. And I went after that bear, and I struck him, and I brought back the lamb. And there was that other time when a lion came and grabbed another lamb. And I chased that lion, and I grabbed it by its mane, and I struck it down, and I rescued that lamb. This Philistine shall be like one of them. He has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the bear and the paw of the lion will surely deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. What do you say to that? But go, and may the Lord be with you. What must have been going through the heart and mind of every man who watched that shepherd boy walk down into that valley to face that great giant? What was going through their minds? This shepherd youth, armed with a staff in one hand and a sling on the other, off to face a warrior armed with shield and armor and sword and spear. But it all rests on those narrow shoulders, you see. David wins, they all win. David loses, they all lose. All rests on him. The hopes of that entire nation, indeed, God's plan for that entire nation. What am I, a dog, that you come at me with sticks? Howls Goliath. Come to me, boy, and I will feed your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field. You come at me with a spear and a sword, but I come to you in the name of the Lord, whom you have defied. This day he will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down, and I will cut off your head, that all may know there is a God in Israel. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand. And David ran quickly to meet the Philistine. Of course, you know what happens. One sling, one stone, one mighty thud. But oh, imagine the scene that it must have been on the Israelite side of that hill. The wonder, the joy, the shouting, the clanging of swords. Tonight, my friends, we relive that wonder, that joy, that shouting, not the clinging of swords, but the ringing of bells, as we remember the victory of great David's greater son, Jesus, who too left the glory, but this time of an eternal home, and he left so he could enter into the fray on our behalf. With great faith in the Father, the God-man, Jesus, took on an enemy that was unparalleled in stature, unmatched in strength, undefeated in battle. An enemy that has caused countless people down through the ages to cower in fear, rich and poor, young and old. Death is no respecter of persons. For down through the ages, ever since Adam and Eve took and ate and were cast out of the garden, death has cast its pale specter over the whole of the human race. And no one has emerged unscathed. As the well-worn saying goes, no one makes it out of this life alive. That is until Jesus of Nazareth enters into the scene of human history and he takes the weight of the battle upon his shoulders and he enters the fray and he loses. At least that's what it seems, that he loses. The innocent one is condemned to die as a common criminal upon a Roman cross. The source of love itself becomes the victim of hatred and cruelty. The author of life, who spoke everything into existence, is killed, and his lifeless body put into a sealed cave outside of Jerusalem. And yet we're here tonight because, wonder of wonders, on the dawn of the third day, the earth shook, the stone was moved, and the power of God was made manifest fully. As the heart that was pierced began to beat again, The blood that was shed for sinners coursed afresh through the veins. Neurons and synapses fired, and piercing that great darkness that hovered in the tomb of death in a graveyard outside of Jerusalem some 2,000 years ago, the light of the world came bursting forth, shattering the darkness on the third day. And because of that greatest of acts, all has changed and all will change. For Jesus Christ rose from the dead, defeating death by dying. So that as Paul says, we know that Christ being raised from the dead will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. And as David's victory over Goliath meant victory for all of Israel, so Jesus' victory over death means all we gathered here tonight in this place, but throughout the world, all we who look on and hear in awe of Christ's resurrection from the dead are likewise caught up. We are swept up, you see, into his victory. That's what the renewal of the baptismal vows that we did just a few minutes ago reminds us. That in our baptism, we are buried with him in the grave. And just as Christ rose, we too shall rise. For we are united, as Paul says, we are united with him. This means at least two things, to be united with him. One, you are united with the reigning, conquering king who has dominion over everything. He is preeminent. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. And because of that, you are held secure in him. There is nothing on heaven, in earth, in things past, in things come. There is nothing that can grab you out of his grip. For he is the reigning, preeminent King of kings. And he holds us secure. It also means that there is nowhere where we can go that he has not already been, even down to the grave. For a number of years in my early teaching career, I taught in a classroom that was right next door to a man who was an ardent atheist. At times, he was rather antagonistic toward my faith as a Christian. I taught next to him for about 7 years, and then eventually I left California to attend seminary at Trinity. It was during one of my visits back that he asked if I would join him for lunch, which I found rather surprising. I was even more surprised when over the course of the meal he told me that he had begun to attend church and was searching for the truth. I said, Bob, what precipitated this dramatic change? He told me that he had been raised by a mother who, too, denied God, denied the supernatural, mocked any need for such belief. But in any event, for many years, she had been declining in body and mind. And for some time, she had been almost entirely comatose, not recognizing or acknowledging his presence when he came to visit and sat beside her. This went on for some time, weeks. But he said that it was as death was approaching, one day as he was sitting by her side, she suddenly became very lucid for the first time in a long time. And she turned to him and with terror in her eyes, looked him straight in the face and said, I sure wish I knew where I was going. I sure wish I knew where I was going. My friend said that was the last words that he ever heard her speak. And he said that that shook him to his core. My friends, we don't have to wonder where we are going. Jesus Christ has passed through death for us. For even if we should die before our Lord returns, We go to where he has already been, and he's come out the other side. He went down into death itself, and he emerged victorious. As one writer put it, he has forced open a door that has been locked since the death of the first man. He has met, fought, and beaten the king of death. And so the same Jesus has emerged as the pioneer of life, as the firstborn from the dead. And where a pioneer has already gone, the trail has been trod that others may follow. And where there is a firstborn, others too will be born later. As he is now risen, so we shall be made like him. So this night, Jesus' resurrection emphatically declares, death is not the end of us. He holds us secure. And though yet we die, yet in Christ, so too shall we rise again. We have been united with Jesus, our conquering hero, who has risen from the dead, who does hold you secure. To this familial story, let us return again and again and again. It's the one, it never grows old. And so take your bells, my friends, because this evening we celebrate with joy, with wonder, with shouts of joy, and the clanging of bells. Alleluia! Christ is risen! In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.